So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we are in still Torah 33, it's page 94, almost in the middle of the right home. Vezeo, it's written, Vezeo, this was it's written in Zechariah, Ve'aya Yom Echad, gonna be that day, Yivada Hashem, that everything gonna be revealed. What's going to be revealed? The love of Hashem going to be revealed. Yivada Hashem. People going to be revealed to Hashem. Means people going to recognize Hashem, going to see Hashem. Sheitgaleh ha'ahava, that the love going to be revealed. Hanikra yom, that calls a day. So the love we're calling a day. Moshe Katuv, like that it's written, Yomam yetzaveh Hashem chasdo, that Hashem is commanding the kindness daily. Haynu ha-Torah ha-Pnimiyut sh'hayta tzfunah, means the inner part of the Torah that was hidden. Kemo she-katuv, like that it's written, Vayar Elokim et ha-or ki tov, that Hashem saw the light that is good. Ve'amru rabotenu zal, and they said in the Gemara Kedoshah, ki tov lignoz, Hashem saw that it's good to hide. The people will not gonna damage. Ki or ha-Torah hazot, because the light of the Torah, אין העולם כדאי להשתמש בה. The world is not worthy to use it. והתורה נקרא טוב, and the Torah we're calling it good, טוב, שנאמר, because it's been said, כי לקח טוב נתתי לכם. A good lesson I gave you. ונקרא אור, and also we're calling it light, כמו שכתוב, like that it's written in משלי, ותורה אור, that the Torah is light. People, when they're learning Torah, immediately they become to be arrogant. Immediately. This is why we have to go through all of our difficulties and we have to accept them with love. Have to. Because if not, the Torah that you're learning is going to damage you. The Torah that is good, the Torah that is kindness, the Torah that is shalom, is peace, the Torah that is love. It's too high, it's too strong for us. We have to have very, very big vessels to contain that. And to contain that, we have to be humble. So in Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was the most humble man in the world, he received the Torah and no one else. Not Abraham Avinu, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Only Moshe. And Moshe, he handed the Torah to Am Israel. And how Moshe handed the Torah to Am Israel? Like I told you yesterday. He brought them to Tachtit Ahar, to the bottom of the mountain. Means the lowest place, a mountain. This is an arrogant, like we know that the harim is, they are geim, they are arrogant. The mountains are arrogant. You had that argument between Mount Sinai and the rest of the mountains. The har is high, showing to us is an aspect of arrogant. Moshe brought them to the lowest place, in the lowest mountain of them all, to the mountain that was allowed to receive Torah. Every man, let's say, why they haven't received the Torah in the valley. So why they haven't received the Torah in the valley? If really we're looking for a low place, so why not to receive the Torah in the valley, in a pit? Why they received it in the mountain? Because it's written, Hashem malach geut lavesh. Hashem's got certain pride, honor. Men have to have a certain kind of honor. If not, he's not alive. The life of the man is his dignity, his honor. People that have too many insultings, too many shames, and they can die from it, from the sorrow, from the sadness. A man that doesn't receive no respect at all, people ignore from him, he counts as a dead man. He doesn't have friends, he's dead. No one is asking him, how are you, what's going on, how are you? He's asking himself, why should I live? If no one cares about me, if I'm not important to no one, so why to live? So, see that the honor is a very important thing. It's much, very important, basic thing. So a man have to have, like that it's written on David HaMelech, Vayikba libo bedarkei Hashem, that his heart was growing, means become not arrogant, proud in the paths of Hashem, of Avodat Hashem. Means that You have to be happy with your success. You have to be happy that you finished the page of Gemara, that you learned something, that you made tshuva. You have to have something in your hand. If you are not going to have no satisfaction, no success, so you go, a man feels, oh, what am I doing here? I'm so low. So you have to have something in your hand, but always to raise the honor back to Hashem Yitzvah. To know, the page of Gemara that I learned, Baruch Hashem, Hashem is the one that taught me. Tachonen la'adam dat. You give the wisdom to the man. So thank you, Hashem Yitzvah. And then you have that ability to be honored, to receive the honor. When Av is coming, everyone are standing up, and so for a regular person, if he's coming to a room and people are going to stand up for him and going to respect him, kiss his hands, give him money, asking for advice, very fast a man can fall to arrogant. Very fast. I told you that once, that one of the Avrechim said, what I'm going to do? I know that I'm very arrogant, but the Rav is saying to go and to give classes. And every time that I'm going to give a class, to give a shiur, so people after the shiur are coming to me and kissing my hands and thanking me on the wonderful shiur. And I don't know what to do with myself, because I'm taking that pride to myself, and I know that I'm sinning in that. So what should I do? So the other Avrech that heard him told him, Rav told you to go to give shiurim, you should go and give shiurim. And about your arrogant, don't worry, Rabbeinu is going to take care of you. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. And then you're coming back to the house, and in the house they're helping you to understand that you're not a rabbi anymore. You can be a plumber, you can change diapers, whatever. Back to reality. You were flying, you forgot who are you for a few hours in the Bet Midrash. No, back to reality. There is diapers and there is things to take care of. Baruch Hashem. So, all of that light that we're talking about, it's very simple. We're talking about good, we're talking about peace, we're talking about good attributes, about being kind. It sounds very simple. But you see how far it is from tachles, I say, from practically, that the people gonna keep it. People that sit and learn Torah all day long for years, 60 years, 70 years, and they're selfish and they're still cruel and they don't care about no one and they don't have a heart. And so you see that the Torah is not enough. So for that, for sure, we need all of those lessons that we learned about filah, to pray, and then you're going to receive it. But also, like we should understand, Rabbeinu is saying, it's in the future to come. Means that if you're working on something and you don't have it still in your hand, there is no reason to give up because of that, and to fall to sadness and frustration. What I'm going to do, I heard so many classes about humility and I'm still so arrogant, about Kedusha and I'm still so contaminated and I have so many lusts and desires. Rav Shalom said that all of those classes should give you power to go to the field. The classes cannot change you. Only your tshuva process can change you. Nothing going to change you except of your effort to change yourself. No one going to do the work, the job for you. No one. Even the biggest righteous man. Rav Shalom said this is a damned righteous man if he's taking the free choice from his students. Purifying them and fixing them and helping them and bringing them shefa. All right, now, in the small situation of them all, they're going to collapse. They look like giants. Everyone are being honored and respected. And actually, they have the skills of a third grade. They don't know nothing. Why? Because they haven't practiced. So this is why the real righteous people, they let us grow alone. They're teaching us. They give us certain tools, something to think about, something to pray about. And this is it. Now you need to jump to the water, to practice. For that we have so many issues in Shalom Bayit. For that we have so many issues in Parnassah. For that we have so many issues
inside of ourselves, and we're trying to start something and it's breaking, and we're trying to have a new seder, to learn something, immediately your chavruta is giving up and is saying, no, I don't have the power for that. And you're saying, no, I'm going to try that class, and then your wife, she needs help exactly 5 minutes before of that class, and it's in a private supervision that you're going to fail. They're pushing you to fail. Why are they pushing you to fail? That you're going to pray, that you're going to be humble, that you're going to understand that it's not in your hand. Because if you're going to come to the biggest, best shiurim, to Rav Yoshua Cohen's shiurim, and you're going to be arrogant, so you're not going to receive what the Rav Yoshua Cohen can give you. But if it's going to take you 3, 4, 5 years to get to the shiur of Rav Yoshua Cohen, and in those years you're going to pray, and you're going to be humble, and you're going to understand that you're nothing, so then when you're going to come to the shiur, you're going to understand so much. And it's going to cover for all of those years and a lot more. Because you're also going to be able to continue to come. Because to start, everyone can start. And to hold on 1 month or 2 months, everyone can do that. But to hold 1 year and 5 years and 10 years, 10 years is the hardest. The ones that cross the line of 10 years, this is mamash a miracle. It's mamash, mamash, mamash. It's huge things. If you're able to do that, and if you're able to hold on, so many tests and so many failures, and you have to be humble. Finally, you have to be humble. There are tests, and they're working with you slowly, 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 slowly. Every day another test, every day another test. In one day, you're not able to pray. In the second day, you learn how to get used to that you're not able to pray, and then you cannot learn Torah anymore, and then you need to adjust to that. And then, alright, Baruch Hashem, now you made it happen, so now you need to start listening to few rebukes and insultings, and then, alright, you learn also to deal with that, so you're not praying. And they're actually purifying you. The result is that you become to be pure. A man, he thinks that rich, it means someone that have a lot of money. Talmid Chacham, it's someone that finish a lot of pages of Gemara a day. But it's not the truth at all. A Talmid Chacham that finish thousands of pages a day and he's not humble, he's not a Talmid Chacham, he's an Am Haaretz, Gamur, he's a total Am Haaretz. A rich man that he's cheap, that he doesn't know how to give his money to charity, he's not enjoying the money, he's poor. He can have millions of dollars in his bank account, he's not touching them, he's poor. He doesn't have money, he's broke. So it's not the money that makes you rich. It's not the Gemara that makes you a Talmid Chacham. If you're happy in your share, so this is Ashir, so then you're rich. You're rich. You receive money. I'm sorry to tell you about myself. I don't want to sound brazen. No, brazen. Yahir. Arrogant. But I'm gonna tell you the truth, mamash. When I'm receiving money, things that I need to pay for my mortgage and for the apartment of the guys that also under my responsibility and so many bills and arnona, and I have huge amounts of expenses, mamash, a lot. And when I'm receiving money, before that I'm depositing it to my bank account, I don't have nothing from it. I'm telling you the truth. Every month I'm coming to the day that I need to deposit, and I received, and I had the money in my hands, and I gave it all away. I don't have it. Every month like that. That guy, he have to have money for Shabbos, and that guy, he have to... Baruch Hashem, there are people that are helping. It's peanuts. You don't know how many people here needs money, and how many people needs more, and how many people that I know outside, neighbors of mine, friends of mine from the yeshiva, and I'm... coming every day to the 15th, to the day that I need to deposit, and I don't have the money. Every month I'm giving all of my money. I'm literally giving all of my money. And you should learn from that. Each and every one of you should learn from that. And I'm sure that there are people from you that are bigger than mine. I don't have doubt about it. But you need to understand this is the right way. And every month I'm going to have my tefillot on Parnassah, and every month I'm going to go and going to be bothered and occupied, what I'm going to do, what am I doing? But you don't have a choice. If now you need to go to shopping, alright, you have, so you made shopping, Baruch Hashem, now there is someone that also needs to go shopping, and he doesn't have money. And You have to give him. You have to give him. And it's like that in all of the Avodat Hashem. All right, you came to the yeshiva and you have your sdarim and there is a wonderful shiur of Rav Mordechai Naim, and it's very naim, pleasant to be in the shiur of Rav Mordechai. It's wonderful. It's sweet. But if there is someone that doesn't find himself, that he, for an example, our friend Nehemia that was sitting with us, he now left. He left Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't find no one to sit with him. No one. Look how many people we have here. And he couldn't find no one to sit with him. And now he's not here. He already went back. And we tried. And that guy sat with him a few hours, and that guy sat with him, and to that guy we tried to pay, and to that guy. Bottom line, he went. And I was sitting with him for hours and hours and hours. But bottom line, he's not here. And it was easy to hold him with us, because he already came, and we lost him. And he can come back again, Bezrat Hashem, but it needs sacrifice. If you are not going to sacrifice an hour from your Sidrei Limud, so we're really going to appreciate the fact that you're coming and learning Torah, and it's wonderful. And it's, we're happy. I'm happy that you're learning Torah, and all of you are learning Torah so many more times than me you can ever imagine. I'm running to buy things in the market. I'm going to with my wife to the mall, and we're doing it in the light train because now we don't have a car. And we're doing so many things, and I'm taking the children in the morning and bringing them back in the noontime, and I'm talking to each and every one of you. And I'm not sitting, and I'm not opening Gemara, and I'm not learning Shulchan Aruch. And the minimum, I'm stealing Limud. And I'm working on another CD to make it that people are gonna. And no one is helping me to distribute those CDs. And I'm not blaming, and I don't have no problem. But if you and I are going to hold hands together, you don't know what we can achieve. Yesterday I saw there are books of the Maharosh that he's writing. So Maharosh, the Rabbi Eliezer Shlomo Shik, he's writing letters to people, answering letters. And he's writing Kuntasim, Torot, Chidushet Torah, on issues, subjects. And so many books and explanations on Masechet Avot, on Pirkei Avot, on this, on that, on the Likutei Moran. More than 600 books he wrote. More than 600 books, maybe a lot more, maybe even more than 1,000 books today. I don't know. Thousands of books, and I'm asking myself, why we're not moving? Why we are not moving? Why one of you cannot take those classes? And take that class and to make it a contrast. What do you need more? What do you need? You need me to sit and write contrast? I don't know to write in English. I don't know. Barely to talk. Someone needs to do that in your free time. And if you don't have a free time, so if you're learning from 9 till 3, 9 till 5, so give 1 hour to Am Yisrael. It's not to me. And if everyone going to take one contrast, that it's going to cost us one shekel to type it. To publish it. And we all can do those things together, and everyone can sell it in 2 shekels. Can go to the Kotel HaMaravi to make it, to sell it to people, to give it 2 shekels. And then we're going to have money to type more. Who is it? Do I have a face of a rich man?
Yes.
All right, because I'm happy in my shell. Because I'm Sameach. Because I'm happy. What did I have? Because when I am not praying in the morning like I should, and when I'm coming to the yeshiva barely at 12:15, and I'm coming, and then I'm taking my kids, and I'm running, and my day of Yidbodedut is inside the house, and in the end, mamash, at 9 p.m., when I'm totally broken, and I'm totally broken, I'm telling you, every day I'm crashing, every day, I'm coming to 9 p.m., 10 p.m., I'm dead tired. If there's kindness of Hashem Yitbarach, I suddenly receive more powers, I don't know how, and I'm going out from the house and I'm doing 3 hours Yitbodedut, 5, 6 hours Yitbodedut, until the middle of the night, and I'm coming back to the house at 3, at 4 sometimes, dead tired, driving asleep. If you think I'm laughing at you, I'm not. I'm falling asleep and I'm driving and I'm finding myself in the parking lot. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm finding myself parking and I'm asking myself, how you got here? How you got to the house? How you got to the house? And there's no answers to that. No answers to that except of that Hashem wanted me to come to the house. If Hashem wants you to come to the house, you can drive asleep. I'm not telling you stories. I'm telling you the truth. I'm praying until I don't have no powers at all, that I'm falling asleep on the tzion of Rav Levovich and the tzion of graves of tzaddikim and Har HaMenuchot, and I'm dragging myself back to the car. This is it. If I'm trying to eat something, I have pains in my stomach in the morning that you can never imagine to yourself. Even I'm eating something. If I'm eating after 8 p.m., this is it. You don't know what's going on. Everyone with his weaknesses. I cannot eat. So I cannot even drink and eat in the evening when I want to wake myself up to drive back home to drink something. I cannot. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to pay for that. You can never imagine. Everyone with his issues. But if you're not sacrificing yourself, you're not going to achieve nothing. We can stay here and to be the best friends and to learn every day. But think about it. Harav told us that he wants to buy a building, that he wants to have a building only for the English program, for the yeshiva. None of us moved the finger. None of us moved the finger, even me. No one is moving. And we need to do things. We have dorms for the guys, for the avrichim, for the bachurim. And every month there are not enough guys over there. And what's the problem to bring guys to the... It's so easy. If you're going to look in the streets at night, you're going to understand that it's very easy. They're all drinking beers and vodka and smoking joints outside in the streets. Their parents are sending them tons of money to Eretz Israel because they think that they're learning Gemara all day long. And they're all outside, not all, but a huge bunch of guys smoking every night and drinking every night and with their iPhones and nonsense and renting cars and driving like crazy in people in the streets of Beit Israel. And poor people! And after 1 year of vacation, so-called vacation in Eretz Israel, they're coming and crashing back there, back in Baltimore, in Brooklyn, in all of those places. They're crashing. When they're going back, this is it. This is their end. You cannot imagine to yourself the sound of their crash, how they're crashing over there. They don't have nothing anymore because they lost even the chance to stay in Eretz Israel, to live in Eretz Israel. We talked about it, to make a shiur in the Kotel HaMa'aravi, let's go, let's talk to people. You need to push for those things, the ones that care. If you want, you should push. You should push. You should make those things happen. On every movement here in the yeshiva, I'm paying. I'm paying for my pocket. And my income is, it's a joke. I'm not receiving half from what that I'm giving to the project. I'm not receiving half than what that I'm giving to this English program. And mamash, I'm telling you that from all of my heart, my torn heart, my broken heart, and I'm happy to do that. And everyone here are partners. How we accepted Moshe, we loved him, we accepted him, how we accepted Ichi, every one of you, everyone. Yaakov, and everyone that came, Yosef that got married, and everyone are joining, and another one is coming, and it's our job to be a family. It's not a community. It's to save people life. It's not a community, it's not imagination, let's grow, let's... People are drowning now in those moments that we hear now, drinking and eating and sitting and Baruch Hashem. People now are suffering. People now are thinking if to stay in Eretz Israel, if to go back, and what to do. And they're still asleep. There are guys that now are asleep in the dorms, in the yeshiva. Now they're asleep. In the house, over here, they're still asleep. And you cannot talk to them. And they can disappear in a moment. You're not going to leave a letter. You're not going to say goodbye. And it's our obligation. In Limud HaTorah, in Itbodeduyot. Alright, so you made your 1 hour Itbodeduyot. Now what now you want to achieve in your Avodat Hashem? Except of doing what that you're already doing now in Avodat Hashem, what more you want to achieve in Avodat Hashem? I'm asking you because I don't want nothing else. This is why I'm asking you. What there is more? What? So you will not going to complete the Shas. So what? You think they're going to kick you out from heaven because you haven't completed Shas? You think this is what that important to Kadosh Baruch Hu? That you're going to finish Shas? For that He created the world, that you're going to finish Shas? And after that you're going to finish Shas. Alright, let's say that you finished Shas. Do you really think that you finished Shas? You really think that you understand what it was written? I finished Masechet Brachot maybe 20 times. And I'm telling you that every time that I'm learning, I realize that I haven't understood it at all. So many sugiyot that I don't know what to tell you. And I finished it so many times again and again. And when I was preparing myself to the shiur, you don't know how many times I was learning it. And when I finished the shiur with you, I had another chavruta that was coming to my house at night. And we were learning Masechet Brachot again at night. And I wasn't preparing it, just reviewing again with him, for him. That he's going to have some Torah in his life also. And I still open Masechet Brachot, and it's a foreign Masechet for me. I don't know nothing over there. Really? You think that you learned Tosfot? You don't know what's written in Tosfot. I told you that once that there was Talmid Chacham that wrote that he answered all of the questions of Rabbi Akiva Iger, I think it was Rabbi Akiva Iger, and he found the solution to all of them except of one. Rabbi Akiva Iger, he wrote questions and he left them open. He couldn't answer them. He left them open. And that arrogant Talmid Chacham, he said that he answered them all except of one. Came to the students of the Rabbi Akiva Iger. The student looked at what that he wrote and they told him, the one that you couldn't answer, that is the only one that you understood. That is the only question that you understood. The rest that you answered, you haven't understood the question at all. Sometimes the Tosfot is writing something and you don't understand at all what they're talking about. You're flowing with the Tosfot and you finished it from the beginning to the... Why they told me that? Means that you haven't got it. Even if it was so easy for you. Rashi, you're reading Gemara and Rashi, this is it. Because that you don't ask questions, you don't understand what they're talking about, doesn't mean that they're not very, very deep. And I promise to each and every one of you that you never, never understood one Rashi. One Rashi. Completely. Rashi in every answer, he is containing all of the Torah. All of the Torah in every answer. When Rashi is answering a question, all of the Gemarot that are talking on that issue or connected to that issue are inside his mind. He's considering them also. So when he's answering to you here, he's opening for you an answer to all of the Gemara, so for sure that you haven't understood it. It doesn't mean that you should fall from the limud because of that, but not to think that you are, I don't know what. So now if you're sitting and learning, so Baruch Hashem, it's better than to play snooker, pool, I don't know what, it's better than tennis. But always to be humble, always to know that Tachlit Hidiah Shelo Neda, that the purpose of knowledge, of knowing things, is to know that you don't know nothing. Just to know that Hashem Yitbarach is endless. That the Chachamim, the Tanaim of Amoraim, those are, they made out of fire. We don't understand the word of them. Pshat. Rabbeinu blessed one of his most important students, Rabbi Aaron Mibresev, that Rabbi Aaron Mibresev, Rabbi Nachman said on him that we need to thank the horses that brought him to be a rabbi in Breslev. We need to have such a hakarat hatov.
Gratitude.
To the horses that brought him to our city. We need to thank them. And on him, Rabbeinu blessed him. He told him, because that I love you, I'm going to bless you, that in the world to come, you're going to understand my sichot chulin. My regular conversations. Not words of Torah at all. Words of Torah, it's another thing. Regular conversations. Please give me the water. This is, I'm blessing you that you don't understand what I said. In the world to come. Rabbi Avram ben Rab Nachman, that he was the rabbi of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender, that he was huge, he was a genius. You couldn't understand Rabbi Avram ben Rab Nachman. He said, I'm blessing myself, I wish that after 10,000 years of eternity, I'm going to understand what that Rabbeinu blessed, I'm going to have that understanding that Rabbeinu blessed Rabbi Aaron מברסלב, in that understanding, to understand his שיחות חולין. 10,000 years of eternity to someone that all Breslev went through him. All Breslev went through his hands. We don't understand a word of what that we're reading. A word we don't understand. What we can understand, Rav Yehoshua Cohen once said, he said that every man should, like it's written, everyone should ask himself, Matay yagiu ma'asai lema'asai rabotai? When my actions gonna reach the actions of my rabbis? And then he said, but when you look at him, on Rav Shalom he looked, and he said, you know for sure that you will never gonna reach his actions. You know that for sure. There is no chance that you're gonna be like him. So how we can watch? How we gonna explain that Mishnah? It's a Mishnah, right? The Mishnah, boy side, the Midrash Chachamim. Is it the Mishnah? Poor guys, huh? Especially me. Really? So how we should keep that word? How can we keep that word? So he answered, we should explain the word Matay Yagiu, when I'm gonna reach, not Yagiu Leshon Haga'a, not to reach means to achieve, to be there. Just Leshon Negi'a means to touch. When I'm going to touch the actions of my rabbi. When once I'm going to do something that's going to be close to what that he's doing 24/7. When once I'm going to have one itbodedut like his. One time. Rabbi Natan said in one of his letters to Rabbi Yitzchak, his son, I'm going now to Uman, to the grave of Rabbi Nachman Ibreslev, that maybe, hopefully, one time I'm going to be able to say one word of truth on the Tzion HaKadosh, on the holy grave of Rabbi Notadosh. One word of truth in his life. He wanted to have one word of truth. A man that was praying and praying and praying and praying. And Rabbeinu testified on him, on Rabbi Natan, that without Rabbi Natan, there was no even one page left from all of Hasidut Breslev. All Breslev is because of Rabbi Natan. We owe our lives to Rabbi Natan. No doubt about it. And Rabbi Natan wanted to say one word of truth. And if a righteous man is saying something like that, you don't need to say, Chas Shalom, that he is magzim. I say magzim.
Exaggerating.
Chas Shalom. You need to know that really, like Moshe Rabbeinu, we talked about him. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm the worst man in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu, he never lied in his life. There is an aspect that Moshe Rabbeinu is the worst man in the world. It's not his humility. Humility is not to be a liar. It's not a game. No, I'm humble. I'm the worst one. No. No. Don't honor me. I'm humble. No. This is not humility. It's a lie. This is a show. This is a game. Real humility, it's wisdom. It's a sechel. That he realized that he is zero, that he is under zero, that he's got horrible debts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will never going to be able to pay. And it's true. And it's the truth. And it's real. Rabbi Natan, when he said that he never opened his mouth to say a word of truth because he wished maybe once in his life, it's because that he looked at Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And he saw the difference between his words and the words of Rabbeinu. And no matter where you're going to put his words, Rabbeinu was so much higher. So much higher. That you would shake. That you would shake from fear. From fear. Who was Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Who was Rabbeinu HaKadosh? The undertaker, the one that buried Rabbeinu, he testified that he haven't buried Rabbeinu. He told that to his son, that when they brought the body of Rabbeinu to the grave, and he raised his hand to receive the body of Rabbeinu, suddenly there was a huge light, and he couldn't see nothing. He was like blind. How do you say it, Mesunvar?
Blinded.
Blinded. He was blinded, and after a few moments, he opened his eyes. His eyesight came back, he could see, and he saw that Rabbeinu already was lying down on the ground. Buried already. This is it! He never touched him. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, that Borei Olam kavar oto bagayim, Borei Olam buried him somewhere. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbeinu, that on Rabbeinu, we know where to go to. This is the solution, you know where to go to. This is it, this is the only difference. Why we have those stories? Rabbeinu testified, Matei Elokim Biyadi. He was holding the staff of Hashem, Matei Elokim. The name of Hashem Yitbarach, it was in his hand. What it means, no one can understand. And the ones that are explaining, they're liars. No one knows nothing. Harav Shalom told me that he's got a copy of the Megillat Sarim, the hidden scroll of Rabbeinu, that Rabbeinu wrote and gave to Rabbi, told Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Natan wrote it. And he's got that scroll in his house. And he said, you cannot understand nothing from it. It's useless. What can you do with it? And he said that the ones that are explaining the Megillat Sarim, they're just hiding it more. Actually, they're just hiding it more. Because now you think that, you know, you don't know nothing. Nothing. One of you, I think, told me, maybe Ichi, that there was a rabbi that was writing points. That's what was one student of the Chatam Sofer. He was making that points on the sides of his Gemara, and he had Chidushe Torah that he heard from the Chatam Sofer on all of them, and he haven't wrote a word, just points. If you would ask him, he knew exactly on that point what was the chidush of the Chatam Sofer on that piece of the Gemara and on that piece of the Gemara, just from the points. So the dot, only from them he would know so much. He would remember when Rabbi Natan wrote letters to write the scroll, the hidden, the Megillat Sarim scroll of Rabbeinu Hakadosh. He knew what he was writing. Now that you see Bet, Gimel, Chet, Tet, Yud, there's no connection. You think that you can understand words from it? You don't know nothing. You don't understand nothing. The wisdom is to be simple. To be tamim and pashut, to be simple, to be, I don't know what. Just to see what Hashem wants for me in the morning. This is it. Today Hashem, He wants me to pray Bezot Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. And to pray Shachrit. In your house, in your room, in Beit Knesset, in the Shtiblach, on the way, on the bus. I don't know what. There are halachot for someone that wakes up in the middle of, in 12 afternoon. There is a halachot for someone that's in the bus that needs to pray. There are halachot. Go to the yeshiva, you failed today. Come to the yeshiva, ask a Talmid Chacham, ask him, tell me, what should I do? And if that Talmid Chacham is too strict for you, and you see that he's not pushing you to life, just pushing you to death, so you need to ask someone else. You need to find the path of halachot by yourself. If you see that he's just rebuking you and rebuking, and you're not going to keep it. You don't have those powers inside of yourself to keep the path of halacha. So you need to find someone else to help you. You need to ask another one. You need to learn by yourself, maybe. You need to have a friendly rabbi like me. Someone that's going to make it easy for you. That you're going to survive. How can I count on myself to answer you questions, so deep questions that you're asking me? Each and every one of you, when you're brave enough to come and to ask, you're bringing all of your life into my scale that I'm going to tell you what to do with your life. How can I answer you? Where I have that courage? Am I so wise? I'm such a Talmid Chacham. I was so much Meshamesh Rav Shalom that I can answer all of your questions? No. I'm counting on two things. The first thing I told you, like that Rav Shalom told me, I asked him. I told him, Rav, people are asking questions that you need divine spirit to answer those questions. What should I do? They need you, they don't need me. What should I do? He told me, you should answer from your logic, and I'm going to be there with you. On that I'm counting. I'm answering to you, you should know. No Ruach HaKodesh, just this is my logic, I'm answering from my logic, and Rav is with me. And the ones that were brave to come and to ask me, they saw that Rav was there for them. They saw, each and every one of you that came and asked, he saw that Rav was there for him. Through me, Baruch Hashem. This is one thing that I'm counting. Second thing that I'm counting, is a lot crazier. Oh, we have 1 minute. What are you saying? We're going to talk about it today? Yes, we will. The second one is that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was breaking the holy tablets. Where Moshe Rabbeinu find that power? You received the first Torah book that had been written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, handmade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hand it to Am Yisrael, and you suddenly decide to break it. On what you're counting? How can you do that? It was the most craziest act that ever been done in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu never been commanded
to do that. He was commanded the opposite thing, to give it, to hand it to Am Israel. And he's taking it, and he decides to break it. Against the commandment of giving the Torah to Am Israel. It's crazy. No one can explain it, except on one way. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew from inside that Am Israel are more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Torah HaKadosha. And he was counting on himself that he knew that he wants to help Am Israel with all of his heart. So he was sure that if really his heart is so committed to Am Israel, to his job, to Hashem Yitbarach, for sure he will not gonna be wrong. He believed in himself. When you believe in yourself that you want to help someone, Hashem gonna help you to do that. And if you have other will inside, you want also to receive honor from him, you also want to receive money from him, you also want something else, you're gonna fail. You're gonna see that you're gonna fail. That man gonna be disappointed from your answer. He will not gonna take it like someone that kemotzeh shalal rav. If really your heart is committed to your shlichut, to the mission that you're in, you're gonna succeed. Hashem gonna be there for you, gonna support you. And I'm counting on that. Because I know that I don't want to receive nothing from you. Nothing. I just want to see you all growing. I just want to see you all building houses, staying in Eretz Israel. That all of you are going to be rich. That all of you are going to be Talmid HaChamim. It's going to damage me if you're going to succeed. It's just going to help me to see you all growing. What's going to be the damage for me? I just want you all to succeed. All of you to grow. This is why I can help you all. This is why Rav let me talk here. It never happened in the yeshiva that Rav let someone talk. Rav never let no one talk. There are classes of Gemara. There are classes of Shulchan Aruch. No one can talk in this yeshiva except of me. No one. No one got the permission from Rav to talk. Because Rav knows that I just want to give Rav. That I just really want Rav to hire you. How many times I ask you, Rav, please come to the English program. Please, I'm going to translate you. Please, please, please. One time he gave us dried fruits. Right? You remember? He said, give it to the Americans. One time. He came to us to Tveria when we were in Tveria to give a class over there. Love you. Thank you.